General Kenobi.
Hello there.
Hello there. Welcome to episode 11 of Hello There, a Star Wars podcast, your weekly show for all things Star Wars. My name is Anthony Palm, and with me, as always, my good friend Nate Hicks.
Damn it, that didn't work. Damn it, I had that in the can.
Were you trying to do the Yoda?
I was trying to
do
the Yoda, yeah, but I choked up whenever I went to do it.
For any new listeners, that's a reference to last week where I was doing Yoda laughs and Nate couldn't do it.
It always takes me a second.
So sticking with last week, we're going to kind of go a little more freeform because I think it fits our vision for the show a little better. So this week we're going to be talking about a couple different things. But before we get into it, Nate, what have you been up to? How you been? What's going on? How's life?
It's all right. Still kind of transitioning with the new job. Getting a little more comfortable with it. It's kind of basically an installation tech for security systems, so getting a lot of valuable experience there. Tried to play a little bit of some stuff this week, but really all I've played is just more Titanfall, nothing really Star Wars related. But I did make good on my promise last week, and I went and rewatched Return of the Jedi shortly after I finished Empire. So it's so I've talked about this before, but something I find super interesting is that no matter how many times I've seen the original trilogy in particular, probably the prequels as well, but the original trilogy, I tend to have basically forgotten the movie. Like, I know what happens, and like I know the structure of how it happens, but there's like ancillary things that I don't remember because I saw it so much as a kid that it's like rewatching it for the first time almost every time I watch it. So that was a fun experience.
So Jedi has jumped to your number one?
As of right now, yes, Jedi has jumped to my number one. It used to be Empire, but just something about Jedi I just vibed with a lot more now as an adult than I did before.
Yeah, Empire and Jedi, they are kind of in constant flux for me too, because I think of all the great moments from Empire with Luke and Vader and their showdown at the end on Cloud City, and the moments with Dagobah where I talked last week about how I love the scene with Yoda and he says that is why you fail, and that's one of my favorite lines of the entire saga. And the Hoth battle obviously is amazing, but then Jedi, you think about just the epic showdown in the Emperor's kind of chamber, and the ridiculous dogfights happening in space. And
all of the
they're both so good, so it's kind of almost a recency bias as far as like which one I've seen most recently is my favorite of the two, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's like I personally feel like the moments that happen in Jedi have much more meaning and are more impactful than some of the moments that happen in Empire. It's also just really cool to see, I guess technically this is Luke in the prime of his Jedi, I don't want to say training because he's basically a knight at that point, but it's just cool to see his demeanor. Like, he's not really this whiny kid anymore. He's this...
Right, even from the start of the movie, you could tell he's so much more composed and calculating and confident. I would argue, and this is kind of semantic, but I would argue that Luke isn't quite a Jedi Knight until he's at Vader's funeral pyre. And that's the moment as he's, like, quote-unquote burying his father, that he becomes a Jedi Knight. I believe personally, but that's obviously up for debate. So
if anyone's curious, as of right now, my ranking sits Return of the Jedi at number one, Empire at number two, The Force Awakens at number three, The Last Jedi at number four.
Wow, bold.
I am a bold one. Revenge of the Sith at number 5. A New Hope at number 6. Rogue One at number 7. Solo at number 8. Episode 1 at number 9. And Episode 2 at dead last, number 10.
Episode 4 is number 6?
Yeah. I don't know what it was. I just did not click with Episode 4 as much as I did whenever I was a kid. Well, it's not necessarily that. It's just I like Revenge, Force Awakens, The Last Jedi a lot more than I do A New Hope.
All right. That's your opinion. That's all I can say. For anyone that wants to go watch our YouTube channel, I'm channeling my inner Billy D. Williams. I'm not going to say on the audio podcast. But you can go check out this YouTube stream, which will be archived on our YouTube channel. You can just go to youtube.com, Google search, Hello There, a Star Wars Podcast, and you will see that I am chanting my inner Billy D. Williams. What up, we're?
I also love Lando a lot more in Jedi than I do in Empire.
Well, he's a lot more...
The interactions with him and Han are way better in Jedi than they are in Empire.
And you get to see him with his own sidekick in 9-9, you know?
Yeah.
Seeing him on his own with his own sidekick that isn't someone we knew before. So that I like that too.
I love the part whenever he's hanging from the hovercraft or whatever it is. I don't know the actual name for it.
The skiff. Yep.
Yeah, the skiff. And he was like, your movie's like, I thought you were blind. He was like, I could see a little better.
Just, see, that's like that type of moment I feel like is what they captured well in the Solo movie. What I mean? Like, I don't know. I can't wait to rewatch Solo. I'm not going to see it in theaters. I don't even know if it's in theaters anymore by me. But I can't wait to see it on Blu-ray because I really enjoyed Solo. I think I'm going to like it a lot more second viewing. I only saw it once, so.
Before we get off this, the question I have for you, because I don't know the last time you saw Jedi, does it still bother you that the current, like, current Blu-ray release and I guess the current digital release as well?
Well, don't ask me about size noodles.
No. Oh. We share that same opinion. I was talking about the when they changed Anakin's Force Ghost at the end of Jedi to Hayden Christensen. Now, does it still bother you now?
It didn't even so much bother me then because I thought they were going somewhere with it. But it doesn't seem like they're going anywhere with it with Episode 9. You know, like, I thought that they brought Hayden back intentionally because Hayden was going to show up in the sequel trilogy. And so, ask me again after Episode 9 is out, if Hayden shows up as a Force ghost, I'm cool with it.
I didn't get that at all. Like,
see, that's kind of what the vibe I got is like, oh, they're going to go somewhere with this, either with maybe Clone Wars or maybe they're going to do something with that. Like, there's a reason they did that. But if they don't go anywhere with that, if Hayden Christensen doesn't show up in Episode 9... Then what was the point? Why didn't you just leave Sebastian Stan in?
Because it makes Sebastian Stan
the not Winter Soldier.
Oh, okay.
Sebastian.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was like, wait, hold on a second.
Cuz that's when I'm pretty sure that's his name cuz I remember I was like off guard when I saw Sebastian Stan, the Winter Soldier actor, and I was like, wait a minute, I didn't know that name.
Well, see whenever I first saw that, it made sense to me because the way I took it was, for people who just got done watching the prequels, they've seen Hayden Christensen be Anakin Skywalker. So, when they re-released the...
There's a Sebastian Shaw in something else then.
Original trilogy and made that change, it would make more sense for people who are like just maybe now seeing it to have that be Anakin Skywalker, because that's the Anakin Skywalker they grew up with. Or they... Let's see.
Side note. Sebastian Shaw... was Kevin Bacon's character from X-Men First Class, who is also a character from the comics of X-Men. That's what I was thinking. Not Sebastian Stan, the Winter Soldier.
Hmm.
But I wasn't completely wrong in that thinking. I was just thinking the wrong person.
Interesting.
Again, ask me after Episode 9 how I feel about that. Because right now, it's like if they go somewhere with it, but if not, then it was like, you should have just left Sebastian Shaw on. But... yeah, so what I wanted to ask you, do you have anything you want to talk about first? Because I'm going to ask you about a prequel thing, because I'm Mr. Prequel Man, I guess. Because that's all I ever talk about, apparently. Did you have anywhere else you wanted to go with that?
Well, I actually have a complaint before you get onto that, and it's about Star Wars Rebels. Disney, why are you screwing me right now? I had my day off the other day. I went and I got my free trial for PlayStation View so I could watch Rebels. The only season that is available to digitally stream right now through any service is season 4. They have gotten rid of season 1 through 3.
See, I think I have them DVR'd, unless they deleted my DVR. I haven't checked.
Well, see, I was watching it on the Disney Go app before I did PlayStation View, and then I noticed gotcha. It was only season 4, and I was like, that's weird. So I did this free trial, and I'm about to have to cancel it because I don't have the money to spend on $40.
Yeah, I mean, I only told you to do the trial because...
Yeah, but now it's not there anymore. So it's like now because I really want to watch Rebels, and it's not that I don't want to buy them physically. It's just I don't have the money to right now. So it's like I really want to watch Rebels, but they're making it really hard for me too, and I don't know why.
All right, yeah, I got to complain about Disney on this one as well, because to buy Star Wars Rebels, the complete series, on iTunes is $90.
See, I would buy
$89.99.
I would buy it physically anyway, because, I mean, I don't watch it.
I'm just saying, if you wanted to just have an easy way of watching it, right. You could watch it on iTunes or whatever, but that is asinine, because as far as I know, you can't even buy it on, like, because TV shows aren't part of the Disney Anywhere app. So if you bought it on iTunes, I don't think it syncs it to your Disney Anywhere app, which you can then watch on your Roku or your, you know, whatever you can watch Disney Anywhere on.
Okay, see, that's not terrible. I'm looking at Amazon right now. For season 1 is $17.99 on Blu-ray. Season 2 is the same, and then season 3 is $22.99. So that's not terrible, but still, it's like, at that point, I'm going to wait for season 4 and then buy the complete series set. At that point. But it's just, I don't know. Like, it's one of those things that you would want to make sure that you could watch this show anywhere. And I understand that these seasons are several years old at this point. But, like, come on now. Like, I understand I'm late to the party, but, I mean, it's whatever.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. That's Disney. That's not Lucasfilm. That's not... Dave Filoni's team. That's purely Disney. Yeah, that's when you said you had a complaint about Rebels. I thought you meant like the actual show itself. So, yeah, that's. Let me check if I still have them DVR'd. I'll give you my PlayStation login. You can just log into my name on PSView when I'm not home sometime and watch it then.
That would be great. That would be much appreciated.
If they didn't delete my DVR, because I texted you last week and I was really angry they deleted episode 1 and 2 off my DVR for I don't know why. I don't know if my DVR like got full, quote unquote, because I accidentally added like another show or something. So maybe I don't know if they, like I got full, so they deleted whatever I haven't watched recently. But I'll check. But I'll let you know on that. So let's get into it. I wanted to ask you. I want to focus on Count Dooku for right now, and I want to talk about him specifically in Attack of the Clones. And I want to know, what do you think his real kind of long game plan was he really in it like full time with Sidious? Like, was he looking to supplant Sidious, or was he looking to really kind of do his own thing, or do you think he just kind of didn't realize what he was getting involved with? Because obviously there's the whole him training Asajj Ventress in Clone Wars, sorry. Mm-hmm. So he had his own secret apprentice, which and back in the Legends canon, you know, Vader had his own apprentice too with Starkiller, which we're not going to talk about because it still makes me mad that that's not canon, but whatever.
R.I.P. R.I.P. because that...
I'm just glad Sam Witwer finally made his theatrical...
He quote-unquote made it.
Yeah, like he finally appeared in a theatrical movie in some form, so I'm happy for him for that. But yeah, that's... So what do you think? Because I feel like Dooku is like a way more complex character than people... realize
100%. If we're going straight off the prequels, straight off of Attack of the Clones,
yeah, let's just refer to specifically Attack of the Clones right now, because there's a whole other mess of an argument we can talk about with Clone Wars. So let's just strictly talk Attack of the Clones.
The scene in particular, are you kind of jumping this opinion point off of the scene where he's got Obi-Wan in captivity and he's talking to him?
Absolutely. That's exactly the scene I had in mind, where he straight up tells Obi-Wan facts. Like, he is like, yo, these are the facts. I'm telling you what's going on. And Obi-Wan's like, nah, you're lying.
I think that's what's funny, because I remember seeing that whenever I was rewatching him. I was like, holy shit. Like, he's just straight up just told the plot of what's going on. and what's going to happen. No, what I think that was a fake out, honestly, if like just from the, just from Attack of the Clones, I
think. So you think that it was kind of like the Solo trick where it's like, I'm going to tell you the truth, but you're not going to believe it's the truth, but I'm intentionally doing it so that you think that the truth isn't the truth.
And I think that he was doing, yes. And I think he was doing that to get Obi-Wan to side with him a little bit more. I you could make an argument that he is planting the seeds to, what was the word you used? To not surpass
like,
Sidious.
Like supplant him?
Yeah. I think you can make an argument that he's sowing this, he's like sowing the seeds to surpass him. Like he's starting to have that conversation of maybe I don't want him to be my master. Maybe I want to be my own master and have my own apprentice. But I think that that was just kind of a, I'm telling you the truth, but you're not going to believe it. And I'm telling you this, so hopefully you will trust me. Because he brings up Qui-Gon. And I feel like he does that in the conversation to try to plant the idea of trusting him in Obi-Wan. But of course,
like, Obi-Wan, I was your master's master, so why don't you trust me?
Yeah, yeah. And, but, you know, because Obi-Wan is a very strong and very, like, I don't want to say passionate, but he's very strong in the Jedi and the Jedi Order, that he's like, no, the Jedi can do no wrong.
Right, he believes in the cause, quote unquote.
Yeah. So that's my opinion. But it is, you can very well make a good argument that he is setting up, supplanting Sidious.
See, it's so interesting to me because I feel like Dooku really is kind of just a diplomat that obviously he's force trained. He, you know, he has a lightsaber, he has the ability to wield the force as we see in his kind of pre-duel with Yoda, I guess you can call it. But I think that Dooku, there's a point where I feel like Dooku kind of realizes like, hey, I kind of want to do my own thing, but I'm kind of stuck with this, you know.
And it could be he maybe had a vision that he wanted to go. Maybe he didn't really want to follow the vision that Sidious
exactly.
Was.
I think Dooku's vision kind of, because I still want some confirmation. We're never gonna get it because George Lucas, he doesn't care anymore. But maybe not that he doesn't care anymore, but he's not. You know, he's not meeting with fans really, like regularly, you know. So, but I really want to know, like, did Dooku know that Palpatine was Sidious? And if he did, like, did he know that the whole war was just fabricated? Like, did Dooku know the war was fabricated? Did he know he was leading a faction that he knew was going to intentionally lose with the droid army? You know what I mean?
I mean, I would think so, because doesn't he say that in that conversation with Obi-Wan where he's saying that it's been a while since I've seen the scene, but I could have sworn he says that, I don't think he flat out says that your chancellor is a Sith Lord. I think he says
the Sith Lord has control of the Senate. I think it's something like that.
So yeah, if like, how else would he know that if he didn't know that Sidious was Palpatine?
I just
also, because like, not to bring up Clone Wars, but I'm pretty sure they answer that in Clone Wars. I'm pretty sure that is an answer. Like it he knows what's going on.
Yeah, they probably did. The thing that I always get hung up on, and I know it's probably just like easily explained away of like, well, what would you do in that moment, but. When Anakin has the two blades ready to you know, lop Dooku's neck off, or his head off at the neck, why doesn't Dooku say, he's the Sith Lord? You know what I mean? Like, you could say maybe he's in shock. He's like, oh my God, I can't believe I got defeated. I can't believe I'm about to die. And so maybe that's why he didn't say it. But to me, it's like, if you know that guy is that guy, you try to save yourself in any way possible. Like, yo, dude, don't kill me. He's the one you want to kill, you know? Yeah. And I feel like that's what I kind of get hung up on. And again, I know I've seen plenty of people try and justify it of like, he was probably in shock. He didn't have the reaction time to say that, you know what I mean?
He's just like, get his hands cut off.
Right. So I get that angle too, but I feel like he probably would have been something like, hey, kill him too. If you're going to kill me, kill him too. You know what I mean? Like that, something like that. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's any real true confirmation that he knows that the Chancellor is Palpatine. But at the same time, I mean, he did see him at the end of Attack of the Clones. All he had was a hood on. I mean, it's like you never see, you know what I mean? So I don't know. It's one of those very iffy things that I don't know if George intentionally left ambiguous or if it was something that he just didn't intend to explore. But I do always think about that because there is the scene where Dooku's getting the Death Star plans from Poggle the Lesser. Mm. And so Dooku, I guess you could assume. So okay. That's another thing I get a little hung up on is the Separatists have the Death Star plans. Mm. So were the Separatists working on the Death Star? And then when Sidious took over the Senate, then he's like, or he created the Empire rather. Was he then like, okay, this was something that the Separatists were working on, we're going to take it for ourselves? Or was it like, is that how he played it? Or was it that Dooku did get the Death Star plans from the Separatists, but then he brought them to the Chancellor with the intent of the Republic starting it, and then the Empire eventually, you know, it just became the Empire. So it is kind of one of those weird things where it's like, wait a minute, the Separatists got the plans, but the Republic is building it. What? You know?
Well, because, yeah, that's a hard question to answer because, you know, you have the story or the I'm pretty sure like this is the canonical like story of why Palpatine started all this. Of Palpatine knew there was a great evil that was going to come in some time, and he started to set these plans in motion to make sure that go ahead.
Are you referring to the Yuuzhan Vong?
I think so. Yes, I think so. I think I am.
Those demon like multi-reality dimensional whatever monsters that are made of other body parts of other monsters that came and they're like immune to the force and stuff. And like that was like the arc that like Chewie died. It was Vector Prime, I think.
I don't know if it was specifically. I don't know
cuz I was always under the impression that Palpatine just made a giant Death Star to just blow everyone up and take control of everything. That's kind of what I assumed is like he had the Death Star because he wanted to put fear into people so he could rule everyone. That's what I thought.
I remember there being a specific answer. I don't know if it was from like an encyclopedia, but I remember like a long time ago reading something that Palpatine or Sidious knew there was going to be some evil, so he wanted to make sure. Because I remember it was them saying like, you know, he was an evil guy, sure, but he was kind of doing what he was doing to protect the galaxy. So I'll have to sit down and find where that actually came from. It's probably on a wiki somewhere now, but I remember reading that and finding it very interesting because it added a little bit more complexity to Palpatine/Sidious instead of kind of what you were saying, your impression of he was like, oh, he was just a dude that just wanted to control everything.
Well, because that's ultimately why Palpatine fell, right? As he was so obsessed with power, he was so obsessed with wiping the rebels out that he made this elaborate plan to lure them in, to then act like he was, you know, like his army was in a weakened state, to then be like, oh, here's my whole entire army. And like, he was so obsessed with power. And so that's kind of, I don't know, that's my thoughts.
It could be one of those things that it started out that way, and then over the course of the lapse time between the prequels and the original trilogy, he did end up getting obsessed with power, and that ended up being his downfall. But if I can find it, I'll probably put maybe the link to it in like the description or something so people can look at it. But I remember reading that. A long time ago. So
yeah, I think that was Vector Prime with the Yuuzhan Vong, which is now Legends.
I don't know if that was it specifically because I remember that got brought up again with Snoke, after what happened at the end of what happened in The Last Jedi. Palpatine sensed this great in the outer. I don't know if it's the Outer Rim specifically, but the far reaches of the universe.
Yeah, in dark space.
Yeah, like this.
Like the Reapers from Mass Effect.
These very powerful, but it could be the Yuuzhan Vong, like you were saying. So.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the Yuuzhan Vong.
He didn't know specifically that it was the Yuuzhan Vong, but it ended up being the Yuuzhan Vong.
Yeah. Reason to control. I'm looking it up right now because it's going to bother me.
Yeah, so while you do that, I don't know. I just feel like Dooku, it feels almost like a waste that they killed him so early in Sith, because they could have went somewhere with him in Attack of the Clones. But then again, we did get a lot of expanded, you know, Dooku stories in Clone Wars. But I just feel like they killed him like off basically immediately in Sith.
Well, also and now then, because he's passed, like that is one, among other things, one of really bad things about the prequels is that, like, Sir Christopher Lee's character, Count Dooku, like him specifically, like, yeah, it's great we got more backstory in Clone Wars with the Dooku character in Clone Wars, but I would have loved to see more, because even in Attack of the Clones by itself, you are right, he is a very complex character. Like, nothing about his character is surface level.
Like, he's the total opposite of Darth Maul. Darth Maul shows up, he looks like the devil, he's an evil guy, he's trying to kill our heroes, Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon, and then he dies. Quote-unquote dies.
Well, I'm wrong. So yeah, it is now Legends. But yeah. It's a post from Reddit from 2012. This is not where I read it originally, but it basically says my favorite Star Wars conspiracy is that the Emperor wasn't spending all those resources creating crazy super weapons like the Death Star, putting together giant fleets to stop the Rebel Alliance, but rather in preparation for the Yuuzhan Vong invasion that would happen about a quarter century after Return of the Jedi ended. So.
Yeah, so I figure that's what you're talking about, but it would have been cool if they went somewhere with that in the sequel trilogy. Clearly, they just wanted to make the Empire Part 2 with the First Order, which I'm okay with. That, like, I'm totally fine with that. But yeah, it's... I don't know. I really, like, a lot of... It's tough for me right now with Star Wars, because there's so many questions we have, and... We're so far away from episode 9 because it's a year and a half away. And I don't know. There's so many things that could be answered with episode 9, and then so many questions that we'll just have those questions for forever, you know. But one of the things that I'm really disappointed with Sith is that we never got it never fulfilled the promise of Sifo Dyas and explaining why he had gotten the clone army. And I think they touched on it very, very quickly, and like very, very, very briefly in the lost episodes of Clone Wars, but it didn't really majorly answer anything. I think there was a comic maybe, but it's Legends now at this point, if it did happen. And that's really, like, I wanted to see, like, did Tyrannus or Dooku, they're the same. Was he aware of Sifo Dyas? Was the clone army something that Sidious had planted in Sifo Dyas's kind of like an Inception type thing, where he's the one that planted the idea, but then Sifo Dyas went and did it? Or did Sidious find out afterwards that Sifo Dyas had commissioned it, but then he died, and Sidious is like, hey, I could use this to my advantage. You know, what do you think?
I think it's that last one, honestly.
That Sidious just found out, like, hey, there's a clone army growing here. Why don't I use this? But then how do you explain the inhibitor chips in all the grown clones?
Yeah,
Order 66, you know? Because Sidious had to be the one to put the orders in for the inhibitor chips.
Yeah, I'll backtrack a little bit. I think that was part of the master plan. Whether Sidious embedded that in Sifo Dyas's head, I'm not sure. Like, not actually physically, but...
So, just to clarify, Sifo Dyas died after the Battle of Naboo? So, after Phantom Menace?
Mm-hmm.
So, the clone army was commissioned after the Battle of Naboo. So, Sidious was already Chancellor Palpatine.
Correct.
Okay, so I could see...
The way I could see it is I could see... Because when exactly did Dooku turn to the dark side? Do we know...
Well, he had left the Jedi Order before Phantom Menace, I think.
So...
He didn't turn on them, he had just left the Order, and he was the Count of... oh, crap, I don't remember the planet.
So what if... Here's my thought. What if Sifo Dyas... Because you can definitely argue that Qui-Gon and... Dooku are like-minded, especially because Dooku was Qui-Gon's master. So what if Sifo-Dyas was in the same boat? So what if Dooku and Sifo-Dyas had talked or had communication with each other, and maybe Dooku was the one that planted it in his head of, you know, before he went to, because I don't know the exact time he became a Sith or he became Sidious's apprentice. So I think that it's
He definitely didn't become his apprentice until after Phantom Menace, because obviously Maul was Sidious's apprentice in Phantom Menace. So it had to bare minimum be at least after the Battle of Naboo.
Yeah. So that's probably the route that I would take, is that Dooku and Sifo-Dyas.
Oh, hang on.
Unless we have answers.
Okay, I'm on Wikipedia. I'm looking at the article for Sifo-Dyas. This is a live update for information that's been out here for probably 15 years. So it looks like Sifo-Dyas. Okay, so it looks like
there's a question that says, is Sifo-Dyas Count Dooku?
No, he's not.
No, I know, but on Google, that's a question. Is Sifo-Dyas Count Dooku?
Yeah, Sifo-Dyas was definitely his own person. So,
right.
I'm not sure exactly when he had. So was it Chancellor Valorum that had commissioned the clone army? Okay, so
the top thing says Master Sifo-Dyas secretly commissioned the creation of clone army, placing an order with the how do you pronounce that? Kaminoan. Yeah, I know, but the pronunciation
I think it's Kaminoan.
Kaminoan government before he was murdered by his friend Count Dooku.
So it looks like before, so it looks like after the invasion of Naboo, he had kind of foreseen a galactic war coming and told the Jedi Council that they needed an army. So I guess he went and just commissioned the army on his own without saying anything, because he knew they were going to need it. Mm-hmm. And then I guess Dooku found out about it, had Sifo-Dyas killed. Looks like he had the Pike Syndicate shoot down one of his it was a T-6 shuttle. So, and then I guess Dooku and Sidious just had them add the Order 66 inhibitor chips afterwards. So I guess it is pretty cut and dry then.
Yeah, it's one of those things. See, that's the thing about, and you know, there's probably someone listening to this, if they're like, you know, die hard, it's like, you guys didn't know that? That's the thing about Star Wars, is there's so much stuff that, like, I mean, not everybody can be all the Star Wars historians Disney has, or Pablo Hidalgo or anything like that, you know. So it's one of those things that, like, I didn't know that specifically. And I guess that's another good thing about this franchise, is there's so much lore out there that there's such a wealth of knowledge to pull from or to learn, you know. That's a job I would love to have, is to be a historian.
But that's why I love the prequels.
Yeah.
They're so dense and there's so much lore behind them, you know what I mean? And I think I actually might have known this story with Sifo-Dyas, and I probably just forgot it because it's been so long since I've really looked into it. But so just to recap. Battle of Naboo, Trade Federation. Sifo-Dyas says, hey, there's clearly some sort of war brewing with, with outlying systems wanting to separate. We need to make an army. Jedi Council says, no, you're crazy. We're peacekeepers. He leaves. He goes and commissions the clone army with the Kaminoans. Dooku and Sidious finds out. Let's just pretend it's Sidious that finds out. Let's not even bring Dooku into it yet. So it does say Lord Tyrannus hired the Pikes to shoot down Sifo-Dyas' shuttle. And then it looks like Tyrannus and Sidious funded Sifo-Dyas' clone army, presumably with the Banking Clan, the Damask Holdings Banking Clan, if Damask Holdings is still canon. I don't know if Damask Holdings is still canon, because that was Darth, oh my god, did I ever tell you the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise? Darth Plagueis. Darth Plagueis was the head of the Damask Holdings banking clan, so, assuming sure that's how they funded it. I don't know if Damask Holdings is still canon. I know the banking clan is because the banking clan was in Attack of the Clones when, you know, when Dooku was organizing the Separatists. So then once they once Sidious and Tyrannus decided to fund the clone troopers, then they had the cloners add Order 66 to the inhibitor chips. So the inhibitor chips, I guess, were always there, and they just added the programming of Order 66 specifically. All right, that makes sense. I could buy it. I buy it.
So this is something that's never going to happen, so I don't even really know why I'm going to say it. But something I would absolutely love is for, let's just say, because it's the only time that I could think of it would happen. George is on his deathbed or something, or he's close to it, and he decides to strike a deal with Disney, kind of how Sony and Marvel did with Spider-Man for Civil War. And come up with some kind of book, comic, something. Maybe not something shot, maybe not something animated, but something that is going to be canonical that answers every question we have about lore and other stuff in the prequels. It's something that's never going to happen. I can already tell it's never going to happen.
I would kill for that. But I think George... I think with George recently admitting that his sequel trilogy would have dealt with the midichlorians and the microbiotic world and the wills and all that, I think that's him admitting, hey, this was my idea. You're never going to see it.
You know? The more likely thing that would happen was for George to write some kind of book that's some new sci-fi thing, but is clearly Star Wars.
Right.
Just not so... And I would take that, because I would take that as canon, even though Disney says it's not.
Duke Dry Stalker.
Yeah. One can only hope.
So, all right. So we talked enough about Dooku in the prequels. Then, do you have anything you want to talk about from the sequel trilogy? Because we haven't touched on that all episode. Usually, we talk about that once an episode at the least.
I did see, this isn't a sequel trilogy thing, but I did. I saw an article pop up on Facebook that made me laugh out loud. And it said rumored the Boba Fett movie is 90 minutes of him crawling out of the Sarlacc pit in real time.
So like the movie with the, what's the movie where Ryan Reynolds gets buried alive?
I think it's Buried.
Is it buried? I think it might be buried. Yeah. So it's just like that, but with Boba Fett crawling out of a giant like Venus flytrap monster thing in the dirt. That'd be kind of funny.
Honestly, let's see. Since JJ's coming back for it, the thought that I had just had is maybe JJ will answer some questions that he posed in The Force Awakens. Not anything specific, but like, you know, it's, I really hope there's just a lot of character development more than anything. The main thing that I would hope for is Leia's funeral. A moment of the characters just being like, let's take a moment and kind of just breathe. That's how I would hope the movie would kind of start.
Just breathe.
Breathe. I can't.
How did Maz Kanata get the lightsaber? Oh my god!
That's the question I want the biggest answer to.
That's the only question I want to know. I don't care about. You could have anything else happen in this movie. I don't care. Snoke could come back to life and have robot legs like Darth Maul. Rey could turn evil and stab Kylo in the forehead, and then Finn is just whatever about it. I don't care. Do whatever you want with this movie. I don't care at this point. I just want to know how Maz got the freaking lightsaber.
I guess my biggest hope is to take a deep dive into like some kind of lore. That being a prime example of how did she get the lightsaber? You know,
and tie it into the Pirate Queen from Phantom Menace with the totem that Anakin had.
Yeah.
make Maz a big character, because she was just shoehorned into Last Jedi when that could have easily been Billy Dee Williams. Or
yeah.
Lando, same thing.
Yeah, yeah, we've said that before. I don't know. It really is hard to talk about Episode 9. Like, maybe we can talk about it more when there's stuff that's coming out, like when
it's
they have
so
a title.
It's so far away. It's so,
but it's
far,
so
away.
Far away. And it's one of those that, especially after Last Jedi, you're kind of timid to talk about what you want to see because you don't want to build up that hype for yourself and then, oh, that was nothing that I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be such a long wait for Episode 9. Do you think we see Resistance? Was there a release date or a release window for Resistance? Was it going to coming later this year?
Let me look it up.
2019, oh my god. I don't know, man.
2018. First episode date is 2018. Coming
so probably
fall.
Like October.
Yeah.
All right, so maybe that's going to start sowing seeds for stuff. So maybe we'll touch back on it then. I have to believe that J.J. Abrams is going to follow up on his stuff versus Rian Johnson's stuff, you know?
Yeah,
which
I'm not for or against.
I enjoy Last Jedi a lot. But I feel like Rian Johnson didn't really leave any questions open. Mm-hmm. That's the story he wanted to tell. He closed the book on it. You know what I mean? And now it's like the way Last Jedi ended pretty much was like, hey, this is starting a new story. Yeah. Almost as if this could have been The Force Awakens and we could have had two more movies instead of one more. But here we are.
Well, that's what I'm getting at is J.J. Abrams asked a lot of questions in The Force Awakens. You know,
it feels like you know what it felt like to me? And I felt like this before I even saw Last Jedi, you know, coming out of Force Awakens, really. I felt like Force Awakens was a prequel to another three movies.
Okay.
And The Last Jedi feels like it should have been the first movie of
the way it's paced, I can totally
a new trilogy,
see that.
You know what I mean?
That makes
like,
sense.
Like Last Jedi almost feels like a bridge movie versus a full movie, which, I mean, don't get me wrong, obviously the runtime is enormous, but it's just... I don't know, like, there's certain things about The Last Jedi that... I mentioned this in the past, the pace of the movie is so fast, you don't get a chance to breathe. The characters don't really get a chance to evolve, aside from really Rey with Luke. Outside, I mean, Finn is almost wasted. I mean, I liked Rose's story, and Rose got some good character development, but kind of at the expense of Finn. And then Poe, he gets some character development a little bit, but at the same time, you're kind of like, shut up, Poe, the whole movie.
I don't think it's as important of a question, but I want to know where Kylo got Vader's helmet from.
I want to know how Kylo doesn't know that Vader turned back to the light side. You know what I mean? Like, how, like, because clearly, it's probably easy to trace that Endor was the site of the destruction of the second Death Star. I'm sure that probably wasn't hard to figure out. I think that it's a matter of, well, someone put Vader here and... put him on a funeral pyre. Why? Yeah. You know, like, if he was a bad guy, they would have let him blow up with the Death Star. So yeah. I want to know, like, does Kylo know Anakin Skywalker turned back to the light, or does he not know that and he just thinks that Vader just died with his, like, dark will incomplete or whatever?
I mean, easy. The answer is no. I don't think that.
And
he...
Luke didn't tell him. Like, Luke didn't say, "Hey, your grandfather."
See that? That's what makes it hard. That's what makes it hard because you would think that he would say that. So, like, you know what's funny is we want the answers to like just the stuff that we want to know. Like, we don't want any big picture or anything. We just want to know, where did this come from? Why is this?
Yeah, like
this?
I don't even care about Rey's parentage at that
point.
Yeah,
I don't
like,
either.
I really don't, it doesn't matter to me with Rey's parentage. If anything, I would like it. I mean, I know Poe's, at least his mom was in a comic book, so I know who that is. I would think maybe Poe's parents would be more important because he was actually in the Resistance, you know? But that's not a big deal either. Like, I just don't care about Rey's parentage. Like, let Rey be her own character. That's fine. She can be a nobody from Nowheresville. That's fine. Luke Skywalker really wasn't in the end, but originally before the prequels, he was. Or okay, at least before, really, just the first movie. Like, in the first movie, he was a nobody. And in the second movie, it's like, oh, you're actually the son of Space Hitler. So,
Space Hitler. Question for you. What do you think Rey does with the Jedi texts? Do you think that she's going to follow her own gut instinct and not
if episode 9 was
order.
Directed by Rian Johnson, she would read one page and say, this is boring, shut the book and put it back in the drawer. But it's directed by J.J. Abrams, so I think that she's actually going to do something with it, and Luke's Force Ghost will show up and say something along the lines of, like, you know, you are the last Jedi now, and you need to carry on this legacy, and yada yada.
But do you think they're going to, kind of with the way things are going, do you think in this universe they are going to, like, in this Star Wars movie universe, do you think they're going to switch to the idea, like they kind of hinted in the trailers and stuff, of Grey Jedi? Do you think that we are going to change our ideas of the Jedi Order and maybe not have such a cut and dry Jedi Sith?
That's what I wish they addressed in The Last Jedi. Because everyone was saying, oh, is Luke going to be a Grey Jedi now? And he's just not a Jedi anymore. He doesn't like the Jedi anymore. The Jedi Order doesn't make sense anymore. It needs to end. I'm not a Grey Jedi because I'm not a Jedi at all, you know? So
yeah.
I wish that they... That's the missed opportunity, I think, with Last Jedi, is to kind of see Luke in a gray kind of area of, like, well, he's not for the Jedi, but he's still sort of a Jedi, but he sees where they were wrong, but they're also right in some ways. Whereas in The Last Jedi, what we got is Luke is like, Mace Windu's an idiot. He let Sidious take over. You know, like, Obi-Wan's a moron. He let Vader live. So, like, the Jedi should end because they're all dumb. That's basically what, you know, in layman's terms, kind of happens in Last Jedi. And I was hoping it would be a little more gray of, like, Luke saying, well, they are right in some ways, but they're wrong in others. And Luke kind of comes off as just jaded of, this needs to end, they're all morons.
So, something that popped into my head, like, a lot of things. I'm not going to go into it too in-depth, but I, on my other podcast, Nerd of the Third, which I co-host on, we talked about the tweet that shall not be named, and had kind of an in-depth conversation about it. But the only thing that I really wanted to bring up and talk about was, my co-host Nick had made a comment, like I've seen other people make before, about the topic of people talking about, don't bring your politics, don't bring your point of view into my Star Wars. Because I've seen that argument pop around on the internet a lot, to which my response was, well, he didn't say that. He didn't mirror that stance. He had brought that up in the conversation, to which my response was,
yeah, my reaction, for anyone listening on audio, I was making a thumbs down. I'm not saying that to Nick. I'm saying that to people that think that.
Well, my response to that, to really everybody, and I don't know if he knew this, but is, that's always been a thing. Like a political, like, or societal view has always been in Star Wars.
Stormtroopers are literal Nazi soldiers.
Yeah.
Like, Nazi soldiers were called stormtroopers. I don't know what the translation from German is.
Everything,
but they were literally stormtroopers.
Everything about the Empire were the Nazis. You know, and even to add on to that, I'm almost positive, I could be wrong, I know they're World War II weapons that they added decorative modifications to, but I'm pretty sure all of the weapons that the Empire uses are German. Like, I think most of blasters,
like the real life, yeah, like the real life props that they turned into Star Wars props were based off of German guns. Yeah, I think you're right, because isn't Han's blaster based off of? No, maybe it's a Russian one. I don't know. I think right.
His pistol
in a form
is of... yeah, his pistol is a German pistol. I can't think of the actual name of it off the top of my head, but Han's blaster is for
I thought
sure.
It was a Russian pistol, but you could be right. Even go a little further with that. I don't know if this was intentional. Maybe it was by George. I don't know. But you can also kind of get out of, like, hey, Hitler had Jewish lineage in him, and he was exterminating all the Jewish people. Vader was exterminating all the Jedi, but, oh, hey, he used to be a Jedi. You know, I don't know if that's intentional. But you can kind of get that a little bit too, you know?
Yeah. But that's something I don't think people understand, you know, because I think all they see is Force Awakens and Last Jedi and them taking a specific political or societal stance, you know,
Look at, like, Empire with, you know, taking over a small business with Cloud City. You know, or like the government taking control of this small little operation, or even Return of the Jedi with deforestation and the Ewoks. Like, it's not like people that say that political, you know, there was never any political agenda behind Star Wars. Like, maybe it wasn't explicit, but it was based off of something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because, and especially back then, like more so now because it's a common thing, but like back then with those movies in like the 70s and 80s, movies were a form of art expression. So you want to make this big movie, this big, like, people, you know, movie for everyone to see. As a creator, if you have a specific, like, ideal on something or, you know, about the world that you live in, you're going to put that in there in some context, in some form whatsoever. And it's like, apart from the Empire and the Stormtroopers, because those are specifically Nazis and specifically like Nazi Germany, like
that. Like that is like directly like real world influence. Like Stormtroopers literally mean Nazi soldiers.
So
again, I don't know what the translation from whatever they were actually called, but that's what they were based on.
I don't know the translation either. I know that in English it was Stormtroopers. That's what they were. But I really have to brush up on my World War II history because I used to have it in lock, and now it's just not there anymore.
Got replaced with the wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't agree with people that say Star Wars never had a political agenda. I mean, look at Phantom Menace. Phantom Menace is literally about taxation of trade routes. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, Attack of the Clones is literally about, like, people part of a government rebelling against the government. Like, what do you mean there's never been? Oh, because Rey is a Mary Sue, quote unquote, and we have to have a strong female lead, and yada yada, whatever. I can't just enjoy the movie, you know? Like, why do you have to get so mad about it? I don't know. That's why, like I said, this is my mantra that I adopted from Rebel Force Radio, my favorite Star Wars podcast that isn't our own podcast. They're more a news and commentary show, whereas we just kind of talk about Star Wars. Kind of in a vacuum almost. But Jimmy and Jason from Rebel Force Radio, they say, like, we talk about Star Wars as it is. And that's what we do here, is we talk about Star Wars as it is. And so if you have issues with the movies, I'm fine with that. But when you start telling people that you can't, that other people can't enjoy the movies because you have a problem with something, I can't get down with that.
I 100% agree. Like, take them as they are. Like, it's a battle I don't think we're ever going to win. I do want to correct myself real quick. The only German gun that's used as for prop in Star Wars is Han's blaster. The E-11 is based off of a British submachine gun, I believe. And then, like, the Imperial Sand Troopers, their big guns are a British machine gun from World War One.
What was this called? The actual, like, in universe name for them?
It just says the Imperial Sand Trooper.
Yeah.
One.
Because those were in Star Wars Battlefront One, like the EA rebooted
T-21 light repeating blaster.
Yep, that.
And then the DLT-19 heavy blaster is German.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, that's the big one. Yeah, no.
Man, I want to go play Battlefront One. Do you have Battlefront One installed?
On one of my consoles.
Battlefront 1 is so good, man. I might install it on my PC because it's in the EA Origin access.
Oh yeah, it's great on PC. It runs
Battlefront 1 is so good, man. Oh, Battlefront 2, like, it's, I have such a, I mean, we talk about Battlefront 2 every freaking episode, but Battlefront 2 I have such a love-hate relationship with, because it should be so good, but then, like, they changed the mechanics for some reason, and then there's, like, the upgrade system is just weird and just totally different from the first game. And I'm talking the current one, not even, like, the one everyone had an issue with. I'm talking, like, the way they, like, the quote-unquote fixed upgrade system is still kind of weird. It's just better than it was.
Yeah.
And, like, the maps are weird. And, like I said, like, there's Hoth maps in there that are using the same assets as the first game's Hoth maps, but they're in a different layout, so it's, like, jamais vu with it. You know what I mean?
I really don't, like, the one Hoth one in particular I played was the Team Deathmatch one where they're in the hangar.
It's the same assets as the first Battlefront, but it's laid out differently. So it's like jamais vu, where it's like, this all looks familiar, but it doesn't make any sense. I keep thinking I'm going this way, but I'm really going that way because I'm thinking it's from the first game. And, like, why didn't you just reuse the maps from the first game? I don't know.
Yeah. I know, I agree. I definitely agree. The only really things that I really, really enjoy about Battlefront 2 are the Galactic Conquest, and I really like the hero gameplay better in 2 than I do in 1.
That's because I just like Kylo more. I would agree, but yeah, that's because same. I just really like Kylo as a hero.
Yeah.
He's just so fun to play as, especially like playing arcade mode with Kylo is so fun.
Yeah, it's just he's probably my favorite.
I just love his lightsaber. Caesar.
Yeah.
And his abilities where he like freezes people and then pulls them in.
Yeah.
Or does he push them or he pulls them?
Because
he freezes them.
I think push.
I thought he freezes them, pulls them.
Well, there's two different abilities. One's freeze, and then the other one is...
That's what I'm saying. That's his two abilities, I think.
It may be pull. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Like, go play Battlefront 2 and tell us that we're wrong either way. So that's pretty much going to wrap this episode up. We kind of rambled a lot about Count Dooku. But who doesn't want to talk about the world's greatest count? The galaxy's greatest count, at least. Do you have any closing thoughts on anything you might want to talk about next week? Any suggestions for anyone to go play, read, watch, anything?
If you haven't, I would probably say go rewatch Clone Wars. Maybe not the series as a whole, but there is a lot of like, look up some of the best episodes and just rewatch those, because having the conversations we were having, the episode in Clone Wars where they like go over the inhibitor chip in the clones is a fantastic episode. Like, it's a really good, like, especially, was that in the Lost episodes?
Yeah, it was. I think it was the first arc of the Lost episodes, wasn't
it?
It was either the first or the second, because there was the whole Clovis arc, I think. Mm-hmm. That was in the Lost episodes too, so skip that. But but go watch the, it's with Fives, right? Because Fives is the one that Fives is the one that is being kind of checked up on, or Fives realizes that, I don't remember who is.
I think Fives is the one that realizes it, but you could also
like
argue
like
his
like Fives' buddy is the one that they're like operating on and seeing like what's wrong with him because he accidentally killed a Jedi, like his Order 66 like input like just happened out of nowhere when it wasn't actually ordered, and he killed a Jedi, and then Fives realizes, hey, we have these things implanted in us, and then they have a witch hunt for him.
I guess go back and rewatch the Lost episode season, because that probably is one of my favorite seasons of the show.
Yeah, I gotta rewatch the Yoda arc in that.
It answers and just talks about a lot of like deep canon stuff that, you know, if you've watched the majority of Clone Wars, they talk about that stuff, but like Clone Wars tries to stand alone on its own. And then you have that, and I would just look up the best arcs, and if you haven't seen them in a while, rewatch them, because they're always definitely worth a watch. As far as next week goes, I'm gonna try to beat Resurrection next week, by next week.
It'll take you 2-3 hours tops.
Yeah, so I could probably knock it out on my day off. And then I don't know, maybe we can do some rankings, maybe we can talk some more about some scores, or you know. Maybe
all right, yeah, let's talk more John battles. Williams next week. Maybe not ranking specifically, but let's talk about maybe like our favorite moments in Star Wars, from an audio sense.
Yeah, I think it'd be.
So we'll plan on that. That sounds like a good idea.
And maybe we'll do the impressions next week. We'll see.
We'll try. I recently discovered that I can do a decent Salacious Crumb too. But I think I might save that for next week. I don't know, like, for some reason, I can't do the voices, but I can do the creature noises. Like, I can't do, like, an impression of, like, Han, but I can do an impression of, like, I don't know, I was just, like, messing around in the car on the drive home the other day, because I think I was listening to Rebel Force Radio, and I think someone played the Salacious Crumb, like, clip of him, like, laughing, and I was just like, and I was like, oh, that's not a bad Salacious Crumb. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll do impressions next week, because we've been talking about doing that for a while, but we haven't actually done it.
Yeah. That's it for me.
Oh, I think I did a Jabba one, too, but I'm not warmed up for Jabba. So, maybe next week. Maybe next week.
I can do Peter's Jabba.
Oh, from Family Guy?
Yeah.
All right, so that's going to wrap it up for Hello There, Episode 11. If you have anything you want us to talk about, you can email us at hellotherepodcast@gmail.com. You can also reach out to Nate or myself on Twitter. Nate is at SyxStix17. That's SyxStix17. You can ask him why he chose it. He answered that on my other podcast, but I'm not going to talk about that here. You could also hit me up on Twitter at Anthony Palm. I'm talking about the World Cup right now on Twitter. It's been a crazy cup so far. You got anything else going on right now, Nate? You know, you have your other podcast too. So,
Next week, probably either Tuesday or Wednesday, I'll have another episode of my. I co-host this podcast, and I co-host another one called Nerd of the Third, and it's kind of just a conversational show. And then I host a podcast called UbiChat, which is a Ubisoft-specific podcast. It's bi-weekly. So next episode's going to be next week, probably Tuesday or Wednesday. We're going to talk about the new Assassin's Creed game, so if that tickles your fancy, you can tune in for that episode. But besides that, not Star Wars related, may watch Transformers Last Night because I just saw it's on Amazon Prime. So, there's a poster for Glass, for M. Night Shyamalan's Glass, that looks incredible. So I may watch Unbreakable.
I need to watch all of those movies. What was it, Unbreakable and then Split? Split. Those are the only two?
Yeah.
Unbreakable and Split. That's one of those things where, like, I want to get into it, but if I try to act like I'm into it, I'm just kind of a poser because I don't know what's going on. But everyone's talking about it, so it's like, I want to be in the loop too. So yeah. I'll think about getting into it. I probably won't get into it. We'll see. But yeah, the only other stuff I got going on is my other podcast, PS Best Friends, the PlayStation podcast. That drops every Tuesday. Go check that out. It's a lot of fun. My other two co-hosts are pretty cool dudes. They actually might be doing a little bit of a collaboration with you on Nerd to the Third. Your buddy Nick, reached out to us and asked if any of us wanted to co-host. So I told them I do the podcast with you, so why don't, you know, Jeff or Miguel hop on? So maybe one of them two will hop on with you guys on that. So that'd be cool. So check that out if it ever happens. There's no planned anything for that, but check it out if it does happen. That'd be pretty cool.
I will say, Jeff, if you come on and if you say Bazinga once, you're getting kicked off the show. Like, we'll stop recording right then and there. And
I don't think he listens to this show because he doesn't. He's a Star Wars poser fan. He's like, oh yeah, lightsabers. I'm just kidding. I'm not a gatekeeper with Star Wars. But yeah, all right, we're rambling now. This is gonna wrap it. Episode 11. Hello there. Thank you for being with us this week. You are a bold one, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
So uncivilized.
I messed it up. General Kenobi, you are a bold one.
Do you want to do it again?
Whatever. We'll see you next week.